This is a mother-daughter podcast, but it is not for kids. This podcast will be discussing adult subject matter that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to another episode of the Don't Look podcast. My name is Kat.
I'm Kat's mom.
And this is a podcast where
I watch uncomfortable movies with my daughter.
So you don't have to with yours.
It is our horror to watch.
Your pleasure to listen.
Hi.
Hi.
And this is not Kat's birthday spectacular.
Oh my gosh. I knew you were going to make a thing of it when I said something. Did
I said it was not your birthday spectacular.
I got to pick the movie this month for my birthday because my birthday is December. And I said I didn't need to make a thing of it, but of
so
course,
I'm not gonna make a thing of it.
Now you have to.
No, it's no thing at all, because it's not anything related to your birthday. I'm just letting everyone know.
I do want to briefly apologize for our lack of Friday the 13th special. Unfortunately, time got a bit away from us this month with various activities. I'm going to have to take the Velcro away from you. We talked about it last time.
It's untouchable.
I know. So yes, apologies for our lack of Friday the 13th episode. Perhaps we'll do a holiday special to make up for it for you guys.
I just don't think we could do a Friday the 13th episode if we just work really fast.
You know what? I'm willing to try it, but we would need to do that tonight because I would need to edit it and have it up by, you know, I would have to edit it tomorrow.
We'll make a tight episode. It'll be tight. We'll just do it real tight. It'll be a mini-sode. A micro-sode.
How badly do I need sleep tonight? You know what? Hey, if you
I don't know that we could do it tonight.
Well, it has to be edited by tomorrow. So how badly do I need sleep tomorrow?
Well, yeah, tomorrow is the thing. And you have to, I have a book club, so.
Right, so we'd have to do it tonight. We'd have to at least watch it tonight.
I mean, maybe. All right. It's up to you. It's
We might try it. We might. You'll know before we do because, I mean, you know, Friday the 13th is 2 days from now.
As of this recording.
As of this recording. So.
You know how some people do content like months in advance so that they have it ready? Yeah, we don't believe in that here at the DLP.
You know how we were watching Game Grumps and they're like, oh, you know, we're recording this, you know, in October and it's coming out now in, or like prior to October and it's coming out now in December. Yeah, no. Days in advance on this one.
Days in advance. That's about as advanced as we get.
One day we'll get better. Maybe when we do more episodes, but unfortunately, we have, like, lives and jobs and stuff that get in the way sometimes.
Yep.
All right. Do you want to say what we're doing for this one, or do you want me to say?
Are we just getting straight into it? We're not going to talk about junk or anything? We don't have junk?
I guess we have business.
I mean, you know, it's cool.
No, what business do we have? I just forget where we left off last
time.
I
have no
lives.
Idea.
Me neither, man.
I don't know.
Time has been such a blur recently.
I don't know.
Oh, we went.
I feel like haunt season ended and then everything was like Christmas.
Yep. That's and I feel like that's how it goes every year is we get like so hype into haunt season that we just kind of forget how to live post that and are just lost in a trance for a couple months.
I mean, we had Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving was
great. That
was
baller. We saw Santa Claus come.
Shout out to Mayor Peter and
yes.
Santa Claus.
And Mrs. Claus.
And Mrs. Claus who got to flip the switch.
And the Feet First Dancers
shout
who were
out
so
to the Feet
good
First Dancers.
Here in the town of Phoenixville. We went, I don't know, did we talk about Monster Mania on the last one or what, did we go to that after?
I think we talked about Monster Mania on the last one. Yeah, we definitely did.
That was the weekend right before it was my birthday.
Yes, because I talked about getting my poster signed.
Okay, so we talked about that. So that's over and done. That's old business. Who
I guess
cares?
I could say that I went to PAX Unplugged. That was pretty cool.
You did,
cool.
Yeah. That's like new business for your birthday.
For my birthday. I wish I had taken pictures or, you know, gotten.
See, this
business
is the
cards.
Part where we're bad because we don't create enough content.
No, and I don't think that we think like that. Like, some people that we know are very much like, I must photograph every second of my life and post it on social media and like have like 15 photos from a single lunch that I went to, but we're not very minded like that. We just kind of exist and let things happen.
And let things happen. And then here we are. And that's why we just have the Super 8.
That's why we just, that is why we just have the Super 8.
That's why we just have the Super 8. We do it all for you, Super 8.
And if any of you Super 8 would like to like be our social media manager and just do this for us.
Do real things because we're clearly not good.
Follow us around and be like, hey, take a picture, please.
Yeah, just not of me because I don't get in pictures.
Yeah, no. I mean, I would rather also not be in pictures, but.
Yeah, you love taking pictures of
yourself. I like taking pictures of other things and
other
people.
You like being in pictures. You're always making your little face.
Yeah.
Doing like, your little thing.
Yeah, it's like my like goof-em-ups. Like I don't want to be in pictures for like randos that I don't know.
Okay.
Oh my God.
They're not randos. They're the Super 8. We know
Super
8.
Super 8. We know you.
We know them. They've been with us. We know them.
Super 8, can you hear the cat purring on my lap?
I can hear him.
He's so loud.
We went to Longwood Gardens.
We did for my birthday as well.
We love Longwood Gardens. And we talked about that way back in the beginning for our, I think probably our Shining episode.
Yeah.
Ep 1, where we mentioned Longwood Gardens and the Stanley Kubrick bathrooms, which
we
went and
we
saw.
We tried to get video of, but.
For some reason we didn't. I don't know. Because we're terrible people.
No, and then when we thought about it after we had used the Stanley Kubrick bathrooms, we just didn't, like, there wasn't a good one open for us to record. The bathrooms were packed.
It was very busy.
It was very busy.
They do, like, a huge Christmas thing, and it gets very, 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 very crowded to come see it. And rightfully so, because it's absolutely beautiful.
Gorgeous.
They do a phenomenal job. So if you have any interest in, like, a plant or Christmas, like, I highly recommend you should go check it out.
Yeah, and even, honestly, even if Christmas isn't your thing, but you like pretty lights, recommend.
Yeah, really cool. Really, really cool. We went like in the afternoon and then we just kind of like hung out for a while because it takes a while to go through the gardens.
Yeah, and they have like a new space and everything too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always something new. I mean.
By the time we left, it was dark. So then the lights are on all the time, but then you can really see them at night when the lights are on, when it's dark outside.
Which is
and
cool.
They're just all twinkling and beautiful. And it was just a really nice experience. Even if you don't enjoy Christmas, it kind of puts you in, like, a festive mood.
Right.
So
maybe one year we'll go for, like, the actual, like, holiday-esque of it. Maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all the exciting stuff that we've been up to.
Yeah. I mean, I've really been enjoying my Sisters of Sin card exchange in the ghost group.
Yes, shout out to my sister who we did the gift exchange. I haven't opened my gift yet. I know you're also waiting till Christmas, so.
Yeah, I love it. I love my card exchanges with all the sisters. And I got the sweetest card today, and it was just like, I'm so happy to be exchanging cards with you. And if you have ghosts, you have family. And I thought that was the sweetest thing.
Forget Ohana means family. Ghost means family.
It's like usually people say if you have ghosts, you have everything. But in this case, she said if you have ghosts, you have family. And I just thought that was like the sweetest thing. It made me a little misty. So that was very sweet.
I know that that song is a cover, but gosh, they really made it like their thing.
I don't know if they made it their thing or if the fans
made it their
thing.
Either way.
And just like, this is your thing now and it's our thing and on everything else.
On everything else. Exactly.
So yeah, really enjoying that. And we did Black Friday shopping. We went out and got bargains.
So much
bargains. So that was great. And then we went for Small Business Saturday and not bargains, but we supported some local business, which was great.
Shout out.
Which is my favorite thing.
We got some good bargains.
We got some bargains. I don't know if they were like the best bargains, but
we
they were there.
We bought four books and got a free book.
I got a fifth one. We paid full market price for every book except for the fifth one.
Okay. But the number of books that we were going to buy was probably already like five.
It was probably already five. I can't have
enough books. Therefore, we just got a free book.
And I joined a book club.
Mom joined a book club.
Oh.
Which we did mention briefly earlier.
I've never been a book club girly. I've never been a joiner girly in like any clubs.
Let's set the scene here. Let's tell our tale.
Are we going to talk about the guy?
Are
we going to reveal our Christmas tradition?
We're not going to completely talk about the guy, but every year for Small Business Saturday, my mom and I, we go to the Town Book Center. Shout out to the Town Book Center.
Yeah, I really do. I really am. And I think both of us are trying to make a really concerted effort to try and stay away from
I am 100%, especially Amazon. Now trying to stay away from Amazon.
And just like buy local as much as we can, or from small businesses as much as we can. I mean, you know, you can't buy everything from there. But I think we're like really trying to make an effort to support and like small least, business, independent business.
You know, not ordering from online and going to a physical store to get something or pick it up.
Right. So We're trying. It's not always working, but we're making some effort.
Concerted efforts. And, you know, unfortunately, there's sometimes when you have to do things, but we're trying.
We're trying.
Anyway, so we go to the Town Book Center every year for Small Business Saturday. And every year, without fail, there is one guy who tries to sell, my mom specifically, because I don't really talk to him, horror books to my mom. And it's like a thing.
This has been going on for years.
Like probably like four
years. Yeah, like it just dawned on me how many years this has been happening. And it's been quite a few.
It's been quite a few years. And
because I think they've changed locations even.
Was he at the other location too?
Yes, because he owns the shop. Oh,
that's right. I just didn't remember if we had done it then as well. I'm pretty sure we did.
I'm pretty sure.
So it's got to be like at least 4 years, I think.
Yeah, it's been a few minutes.
every year he tries to sell her a horror book. And we're normally not shopping for my mom. But
I like to look.
Looking and talking about him. And I like to look as well. But every year. He always comes with like suggestions where he'll tell like three sentences about the book. And I'm like, that's not what she's looking for. And it never is. It's either something you've already read, something you did not like, or something you have no interest in. Like every year without fail.
I think I really want to say it really took off for me with Cosmology of Monsters, which I really enjoyed. And I still do think about, like, occasionally it does live with me and I will recall certain parts of that book and it makes me want to read it again. And they were like, you know what? Not great. Don't think you'd enjoy, like, kind of low down on the list. And I was like, I really like that book.
That was exactly it. It was that and then the one that's like a tan cover with a skull and the X.
Yes, yes. It's very like steampunky, like Cory Doctorow kind of thing.
But you did not like that. I did not enjoy it. And they love it.
They love it.
Different strokes for different folks, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
But your opinion is not like gold, as this man tends to try and
say. Right. He was way, way, way off. And I mean, there's several on the series, so I guess people do enjoy them. It was just like so not for me. And my did not finish book pile is like wafer thin.
My mom insists on finishing every book, even if she hates it.
Wafer thin.
She will be like angrily reading, like actively hating a book. And I'll be like, I can count down on
like one hand the number of books that I just don't finish. And that was one of them. And it's not even that long. It just was not my vibe at all. And it was just like, I couldn't do it. It was overly written for me. And I was just like, I'm dipping. So,
but now
I was a little sad when we first went in because we didn't think they were there.
We didn't think he was there.
And then, you know, they came in and we're just like talking to other people. And I was it's not going to happen.
We look for him every year. It's like her tradition at this point to see like if maybe he'll get it.
It's like we got to go and get yelled at by the guy. It's not Christmas.
That he's yelling at us. It's just that he's very passionate.
Yes, and which is great.
A very different opinion.
Well, it's great that he's passionate and knowledgeable 100%, 100%, about especially like his shop.
You know, because he owns the shop, right? Exactly. So he finishes with the customer he's dealing with. We're in a completely different section than horror at this point. We're like
shopping for my nephew,
like in the store, like trying at, like, to manga spend some more time. I think we were looking at like young adult graphic novels.
Oh,
at that
yeah,
point.
Maybe even.
And he, like, from out of nowhere at that point, because I thought he like wandered back into the back.
I thought so too.
He just boom, suddenly appears and is like, "I've been waiting for you guys."
Whacking cat, like, it's happening. Oh my god, because I was gonna be low-key depressed if this, like, it doesn't feel the holiday season until this happened.
I tried to get his attention multiple times. I like would like make eye contact. I would try and like be like, "Hey buddy, oh, I'm so confused about what horror books are. I don't know. I wish there was an employee here who would help me." Nothing. And then
boom, suddenly out of nowhere, because this was like the last ditch effort, like we were like on our way out, this was like the last thing we were gonna look at was just like some crap maybe my nephew would like, and it was just like
and I think that's what it is every time, is that we're like involved in a conversation, like actually looking at something, discussing if we're gonna get it, and then suddenly he'll appear and take us completely off topic. It's such a treat, but now I have a horror book club.
Yes, now apparently there's a horror book club. I read the book. I did enjoy the book.
Oh, you finished it?
Yes. It's called Pine, and it's a Scottish novel, and I really did enjoy it. I don't know that it was terrifying, but it was lovely, and I really liked it. So I've never been in a book club. I'm definitely not a club girl. I was a club girl back in the day, but that was
but
different.
Not different.
Like, I don't know how these work. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know if I'm actually going to want to ever go back again, but I'm going to a book club.
I'm very excited for you to go to the book club. And I'm very excited. Well, hold on. I'm very excited that he finally has someone else there who is interested in horror and is picking, like, all of my favorites and all the things that, like, I want to read. So I'm very excited for that.
So we're going to see. We're going to see, because now there's another person in play who may have tastes that are more akin to what I like.
What you like, right.
So, I mean, we're going to find out. But the best part of the story was when the Hubs, Rodney, went back to pick up some things that Kat had, like,
not like this guy,
snapped some photos of and was like, you know, "Hey, I think she's going to want this for Christmas. They only have one copy left. Maybe you want to head back.
Which I do every year. And not every year does he go back with this much urgency, which was good.
Which was good, because a lot of times it's an indie shop. They sell out and then they have to order them in. And like, maybe they come in by the time you want them and maybe they don't. So he went back. And is, you know, standing in the horror section trying to pick out the books that I wanted. And here comes the dude.
I do have to say, this is also the first time I didn't go back with Rodney. So the fact that the guy recognized Rodney, like, by himself.
Just like, my husband does not read a book. Never. No. Would not pick up a book. Would not look at it.
He picked up a book once, I think, read the cover, and then...
And put it back down. And that was it. That was the end. Like, he's not a book guy. He's not hanging out in the bookshop. He's not doing any of these things. So he goes in there about once a year to go purchase something for me. And, or maybe twice, maybe a birthday he might go in, like, to buy something. And he's over in the horror section, and here comes the dude. And he's like, "Oh, the horror section, the best section." And then he looks at him and he's like, "Oh, you're her husband." Which I find endlessly amusing. For like my one time a year visit. Now, it's not like we go one time a year. We do pop in from time to time. But I mean,
we
this is like.
We seldom see him. Like, I think that
we don't always
really see
him.
We
really see him during the holidays. Because, I mean, we just come out off times if you need to grab something or, you know, whatever.
We're like,
I mean,
in the neighborhood. We want to look at the bookstore. It's not our closest bookstore, but it is probably our favorite.
It's our favorite. And it always has been, because it does have a nice eclectic selection of things.
It does. And it's very, like, cute. Welcoming, small type, book type of bookstore. I like
I mean, it's no Browse About Books.
Oh my gosh, Browse About Books. Or that other one by Friday the 13th Camp, where it's like the whole thing.
Oh god, yeah.
I want to go back
that
there.
That bookstore's
so bad.
Crazy. That's like a used bookstore. That place
I mean,
was nuts.
I love a used bookstore. So.
Oh. But it's a damn fine bookstore. So I will keep you guys posted on book club. But I think that's all of the old business. So let's get into it. Do you want to go ahead and reveal what we're watching?
We're watching a movie that I saw for the first time probably maybe a year or so ago. It's been around for a while. It came out in
2000,
year before me. And it definitely has been like around in circles that I've been in. I just never watched it until, you know, somewhat recently. I was at work bored and I watched it on my phone while I was supposed to be working. And I really enjoyed it.
You should not have watched this at work.
No, I should not have watched this at work. I really, really should not have watched this at work. But it was one of those days around the holidays where you could just like get away with stuff.
You were getting away with a lot.
I 100% was. Because the movie that we're watching today is American Psycho.
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, 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 pew.
Yes, it is.
And for those of you who don't know, you will soon.
Yeah, I think most people know. It is probably, I know I'm going to offend some Batman fans, but I really believe it is Christian Bale's finest hour.
I love it so much. There's so many just iconic scenes and lines that get quoted. His acting is just phenomenal. And I really don't think there's a character who doesn't act very good in this, honestly.
I often kind of wonder if this is kind of closer to his like actual personality, because he does have that rep.
Insane,
he does have that rep for popping off, only it's in like gutter Cockney, like straight out of the gutter, like British slang when he gets angry. I know there was that that audio clip that was circulating for a while about him just like losing his mind on set somewhere. I'll have to find it at some point. Oh my god, it was hilarious. So I kind of like wonder a couple times when he has his moments in here if it's like hitting a little close to home. If he went a little method maybe. But either way, it's a great, great, great movie. I saw this many, many years ago in the 2000s when I was working in finance. So for me, it was hitting a lot of nails squarely on the head. And I really did enjoy it. It made a lot of sense at the time. So it is rated R, and rightfully so.
100% rightfully so.
Has a running time of 1 hour and 42 minutes. It was directed by Mary Harron, which is awesome. You can kind of tell it was a female director, I think, when you watch this, even though there's like so many misogynistic things that are going on. It's such an archetype of the men that were out there at this time.
Right, which is why I think you can really pick up on that female vibe.
Beautifully, beautifully done. Just that like white male misogyny of the 80s. Just super, super good. So obviously Christian Bale. You will see Chloe, and I never say her name right, Sevigny, I think it is. You'll see
Which one is she?
She's a secretary.
Oh, okay. I knew she was familiar.
Yeah, you will see Reese Witherspoon with some terrible hair. You'll see Jared Leto, who was definitely making the rounds around this time, and a little bit of Willem Dafoe, not enough Willem Dafoe as far
as
I'm concerned.
Can always use more Willem Dafoe.
And my favorite was Christy. My favorite character in this whole thing is Christy, and I don't know this actress at all.
No, but major shout outs to her, because
I just think she's freaking amazing. Apparently, she's also British. I really don't know what else she's been in. She's an adaptation. Oh, she's in a handful of things. You've got male. Let's see. Hotel Rwanda. Some big names. Radium Girls. So she's definitely been around. I didn't recognize her. It might have been the hair, because it is pretty bad in there. So, all right, we're going to have, I've got reservations at Dorsia for dinner tonight. So
Dorsia, how'd you swing that?
They know me. So, I mean, you know, it
Dorsia,
is what it is.
That's a fancy place.
I mean, when you got an inn, you got an inn. So
for 8 or 8:30?
It's for 8. But we can get there at 8:30. They won't film. Okay. They're not going to give our table away. So we got to go.
Right?
So
it's
like
20 minutes across town.
I know. And I don't know if we're going to get a taxi in this weather. So, all right. Let's rock and roll.
All right.
mask of sanity is about to slip. If you stay, something bad will happen.
Sabrina, why don't you dance a little? Christy, get down on your knees.
Can we go now?
We're not through yet. I like to dissect girls. Did you know I'm utterly insane? Do you have any witnesses or fingerprints?
Actually, yes.
Very nice.
I don't want to get bruised.
I know my behavior can be erratic. I need to engage in homicidal behavior on a massive scale.
Hey, Paul!
So what do you do?
I'm into murders and executions mostly.
I have to kill a lot of people!
I just got back from returning some videotapes.
You know, fun fact, did you know that Ted Bundy's first dog was a collie named Lassie?
Who's Ted Bundy?
Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
I really love some of the off lines in this movie, especially the ones where he just suddenly starts talking about serial killers and no one who knows who he's talking about. The overall excitement when he, or like the smile when he says these things. I love all the scenes where he's carefully touching his face. I love, yeah.
There's just a lot of good things about this movie. A lot of really disturbing things about this movie.
Also very true.
It is just a real smack in the face of everything that was going on in the 80s, which is, you know, so awful. And let me tell you, it's still going on today. Or at least it was 20 years ago when I was working in finance. These guys were all exactly the same as what I'm looking at here. So that was several careers ago, but it was very, 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 very similar to what's going on now. Yeah, I mean, right from the jump, you see that you have this whole picture of Patrick Bateman, who is, you know, the main character here, and, you know, his morning routine and all the things that he does and all the products that he uses. And at one point he has a face mask that he leaves on.
Yeah, it's like one of those ones where you like spread it on, yeah, and it becomes a mask and you can pull it off.
And then he like peels it down and he talks about like there's an idea of Patrick Bateman, but there's nothing really there. And he's just like peeling this literal mask off of his face.
I may look human, but I'm not actually human.
Yeah, it's just so, so delicious. You gotta love it. And, you know, Christian Bale's kind of hot, so that's a bonus.
I think that he does really well in this role because I kind of think that he looks like if you were to make a robot of like the ideal man, I feel like that, like an amalgamation of a bunch of different men, I feel like it'd be him.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, delightful story about a rich white man who gets away with everything.
Yep, 100%. Which sucks.
The end.
Also, they do it in such a good way.
The end. And then it feels like slightly bad about it. And then, you know, the beat goes on. So, I mean, there you go. Which I think is a lot like the plot of Oppenheimer. But that's just me.
I still didn't watch that.
It's a white guy who does some really bad shit and gets, so it feels bad a little bit, but gets away with everything at the end.
I mean, how many movies is that, though, where that's the, like, I feel like that's,
we gotta stop nominating them for Oscars, and maybe there won't be so many. I don't know.
We gotta stop letting it happen in real life, and maybe there won't be so many. I mean, Jesus, please us.
So, what's going on in this movie, Pete? What's happening?
All right, so you have finance bro, works on Wall Street. I don't understand his job whatsoever.
I don't think he really has a job. I mean, at one point, his fiance does say that his dad owns the company. So he's
the, her dad that owned the company.
I think it's his dad.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's, you know, he's fine to end the relationship with her. So, I mean, like,
oh, I guess,
think,
yeah,
it
would be,
and it's so
dad,
meaningless.
Yeah.
I believe it is his dad. I think probably all of the men in this have dads that own companies, and that is often the way it goes. And I don't think he really has a job. I mean, he's the executive vice president of Pierce and Pierce. And, you know, who cares?
Like, yeah, I mean, like, he just frequently kinda, when we see him at work, he's just kind of like chilling in his office, like doing the crossword, listening to music.
Yeah. And just
fiddling
like
with a woman's
making,
hair.
Making appointments.
Yeah. Making appointments, making reservations.
Making reservations. Everything about the business cards and the reservations. And that's pretty much it. Yeah. Like, there's no actual work. It's just like knowing people and like moving in circles and doing a lot of cocaine.
Which is what I imagine it actually is like on Wall Street. But our boy Patrick, he has this insatiable urge to kill people. Mainly blonde women. But people in general as well. I think I counted a total of like 10 on-screen deaths. And then at one point he says that he's probably killed 20 or 40. So.
Yeah, I mean, probably. He does like have some reckless abandon in 10 there.
10 on-screen deaths and then a whole bunch more bodies that I did not pause to count.
Yeah.
It's awful, but I cannot express to you how it's just portrayed in a way that is almost comical. Like there's a lightness that like contradicts it in like a weird juxtaposition type of way.
Mm-hmm. It's a black comedy. It's a very uncomfortable black comedy.
Yeah. All right, so Patrick is engaged to Reese Witherspoon, right?
Yeah.
Yep, Reese Witherspoon, but they're not in like a happy relationship. They're and he's cheating on her with like everybody, but mainly
he has
his,
like
one friend's girlfriend, fiance.
Yeah, everybody's got a fiance.
Everybody's got a fiance, and everybody's dating someone else's fiance.
Yeah.
So no one is like really happy, and it's always like him with all of these other finance bros just talking about dumb stuff that doesn't matter.
And doing cocaine.
And doing cocaine.
And like drinking at a club.
Yeah, drinking at a club, being seen.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we want to... Oh, trigger warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Trigger warnings, alcohol, drugs.
Yep.
Murder.
Yeah, lots of murder.
Lots of murder. Abuse?
I mean, you know, there's...
It's implied?
I mean, there's...
I don't know...
It's murder.
Well, yeah, but, like, before that, he also, like, beats them up real bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's never said what it happens.
What he did, but...
The one girl needs surgery.
Yeah, some kind of surgery. I don't know what.
Oof.
We don't know what happened to the other one.
No.
And I mean, you know, so there's like lots of like murder and some lots of sexy times.
Yeah. Yeah. Very uncomfortable sexy times.
Yeah.
Drugs. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Alcohol, drugs, murder. Finance bros.
Finance bros.
Finance
very,
bros.
Very traumatizing, those finance
and,
bros.
And yeah. Lots of murder.
White male privilege.
Yeah, yeah. If that really bothers you, prepare to be bothered.
Oh, at one point, a dog does die.
Yes.
And a cat is almost killed.
Almost fed to an ATM.
Almost shot and fed to an ATM.
Yeah.
But I think the cat goes free. So.
Yeah. 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 Instead, he shoots an old lady.
Yeah, you know. All good. Yeah, I guess we'll get into it. Do you want to start off with anything, or should we just start with the first uncomfortable moment?
I mean, it pretty much is, you know, Patrick Bateman is a dude who has a lot of privilege, and he's a sociopath, and he just wants to kill people. So he just starts killing. Mm-hmm. And he's really perturbed by anyone who has anything better than him. And so... There's one of his coworkers who's also at Pierce and Pierce.
Paul Allen.
Paul Allen, who is Jared Leto.
I think he's way
Jared
hotter.
Jared Leto?
I thought it was Leto.
Jared, whatever. He is Paul Allen, and he just always is a little bit ahead of Patrick Bateman, and that really pisses him off. So, yeah, hijinks ensue. So I think our first uncomfortable moment is really kind of apropos of nothing. He's
apropos
just like
nothing. He's calling up his girlfriend, his girl that he's like having an affair with.
Yeah,
I cannot place her name. I'm sorry. And in the background, while he's calling her, trying
Courtney.
To set up Courtney, while he's trying calling Courtney, who's always on like,
lithium,
some sort of lithium, some anxiety meds, some psych.
Lithium was really big back in the day too, so I can understand that.
He's just casually watching porn in the background.
Yes, there's like a lot of porn that you're going to see on the TV in the background while he's making these calls.
Yeah, and that's 14 minutes, 40 seconds to 15 minutes, 48 seconds.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the least of
it. Oh, we did want to mention also when you see him like doing his daily routine, there is a scene of him in the shower. This yeah. is not the only scene of him in the shower, and it doesn't like go below his waist or anything. It's like maybe
it
like
it does go below his waist. You do see active Christian Bale Botox.
Oh, but yeah, you yeah. see his butt.
Yeah, they are there. The hams are out, so you're going to see those. But, I mean, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
It's not doing anything. It's just being cleaned.
It's just being cleaned. It's so. Not, like, it's not a thing.
Yeah, we weren't taking it as, like, sexy time or, right. like, super uncomfortable just to see his butt for, like, a couple
no,
of seconds.
No, and comparative to this other stuff that's going on, it's nothing.
No. So that's kind of the first one. All right, so then there's just, like, kind of this convoluted little plot that goes little. There's this convoluted plot that kind of goes along.
The whole plot's kind of convoluted,
it's
honestly.
It's just him trying to sort of control his psychopathy, kind of not really trying to control it, and just getting, like, wildly angry at Paul Allen. And no one kind of knows who Patrick is. Like, he has a circle of friends who know who he is. But once you get outside that circle, like, they think he's yeah. all these different other people, like, all the time. They're always calling him by another name. So they think that he is this other guy named Mark. So Paul Allen's like, oh, it's Mark, you know, and they have a similar taste in suits and similar glasses, and they go to the same barber and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of similarities.
They work at the same company. They guys. Do the same job.
So he keeps calling him by this other name, and that's like, and he has a better business card, and he has a better apartment. All this is just like infuriating.
Which, this
him.
Is like one of the classic things that you see quoted, right. and like all the lines where they're comparing the business card.
Right, that like famous scene with the business card
with this type font.
Exactly. After he like whips out his business card that he's like super proud of, and then everyone else starts like comparing, and then Paul Allen comes in with his like obviously
yeah,
fabulous
like,
card.
Let's see Paul Allen's card. Yeah, and then his hand just like. Like he just drops the card and he crumbles.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of this kind of ends up with him in this plot where he's going to kill Paul Allen. And he just like lets Paul assume that he's the other guy that he thinks that he is.
Mark,
he writes it in his date book that he's out having dinner with Mark, and then ends up somehow back in Patrick's apartment. And then he's still kind of like laughing at him a little bit, like, ha ha ha, aren't you goofy little guy?
He's very drunk at this point.
And he's like still super still condescending.
Why is the stylo section spread all over your floor? Yeah, you got some dog, a little chow?
Yeah, so he's got like newspapers all over the floor, and he's like actively putting on a raincoat. And he's like, hey, is that a raincoat? And he's like, yes, yes, it is.
Meanwhile, he's also talking about Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Very much like lecturing.
You'll
about
see, like,
Lewis in the
and
news.
This is like one of the.
And it's
one
another
of the,
very commonly done scene.
Yeah, that you'll see the little like clips of him like kind of dancing a little bit in the raincoat, like as he's like chopping. Paul
I think
Allen
they really
pieces.
Came into their scene when they did "Hip to Be Square."
Yeah, he talks just him
such
talking about
catchy
"Hip to Be
song.
Square," like doing his little dance,
listen to the lyrics.
And then like chopping the hell out of Paul Allen, just like chop, chop, chippity, chop, 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 chop.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like the first like real murder like that we get to see from him, like the first real like he's
it's
going
the most like yeah because
he's going ham
I
and you're
that,
like okay, let me settle in, I know who this man is, I know what's coming.
I thought he killed the homeless man before this, was it
after? He might have killed the homeless man,
but
it was
not
just like
as
do,
much
do,
of
do,
a
do.
Scene, right.
I mean, this is like the thing, so you're like okay, like killing a homeless man is kind of like anonymous, like kind of off to the side, but this is like he's killing someone who everyone knows
everyone
at the
knows.
firm,
because he's in charge of like one of the big accounts as well.
Yeah,
and that's another reason
very well like Patrick's very well known jealous of well maybe not well liked but very well respected and well known. So we're like okay, this guy like clearly has no fucks left to give, and he's just like in it now, like we've crossed a line, we've gone like over the top. So, and that's kind of like the turning point where he just kind of disintegrates and things just go further and further and further and further off the rails.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I guess that brings us to our next uncomfortable moment. We see Patrick pick up a woman, like a sex worker. Thank you. Off of the street and take her to his apartment.
And this is Christy.
Christy,
girl, you tried.
You tried so hard. No, I mean, you made some mistakes. You made a lot
of
mistakes.
I mean, we don't know her life.
We're not here to judge.
Right. I mean, she's doing a job.
She's doing it. Well, at this point, you were doing your job. You were doing, you know, what you could, what you should. Not what you should. Well, I'm not going to say.
She was doing her job.
She was doing her job. And she goes back to Patrick's apartment. He says to call for her that his name is Paul Allen. And he calls up a service to get another woman to join them, who he ends up calling Sabrina. And yeah, I mean, our scene starts from when they get to his apartment at 39 minutes even, and going to 46 minutes even.
Yeah.
Almost a whole 10 minutes.
Like a 10 minutes of like this weird extended sex scene.
Yeah. Of him like posing them and like setting it up and like doing this whole thing.
Telling them what to do and getting out the camera and like starting all this.
Lecturing about music again.
And this is kind of another one that I think you see a lot of, where he's like having sex with these women and he's like staring at himself in the mirror and he's like making muscles and stuff and like telling them all to like look at the camera and like really getting into it, and him just kind of like staring at himself like while he's doing all of this. And I think that's kind of another one of those scenes that kind of gets played a lot, is right in here. It's extensive.
It is. And we cut this scene off when they leave, but right before they leave, they like he wakes up. They're all in
yeah, they're all together, sleeping.
All sleeping, and he goes over to a drawer which has a bunch of like
tools
in it.
Tools. There's like a chisel, some knives, a wire coat hanger, pliers, a hole punch, like of all things, like just like some really random stuff that, you know, he's going to use in a really not nice way.
Yeah. And you don't see him use them, but you know that he does.
Yeah. Because you see the girls leaving,
like bloodied and bruised,
like rushing and out the door, just like grabbing money out of his hand. And like one has a bloody nose and you see like scratches on the back of them, and they're just like, we're out.
Yeah.
After that, the plot kind of escalates, mostly with him just like further deteriorating. There is a detective that comes to interview him about the disappearance of Paul Allen. And as the movie goes on, you see when Patrick is interacting with various like people, just members of the general public that like aren't in his normal regular circle of bros, he'll just say a bunch of
crazy things. He'll just stop trying to hide it.
Like, it's not even crazy things. It's just like things that he thinks normal people say, but that normal people don't say.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's just like off things, I guess.
Yeah. He goes to dinner at one point and the one guy's talking about Sri Lanka and he's like, well, we don't need to worry about Sri Lanka. We need a return to moral values and we need to be able to feed the homeless and we need to be able to like, and, you know, have world peace and end world hunger and clothe people who need it. And it's just like these platitudes that, you know, maybe people who have nothing but like who have no deep thoughts would say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to have like a real conversation. We just want to kind of say like, you know, it's like the trope of Miss America just saying, well, world peace, you know, that's right. What I would want.
But this is also where he starts bringing up, like, he'll just like, he'll start bringing up the serial killers and like mentioning random fun facts. And then he'll like,
well, he doesn't do that with the detective.
No, he doesn't do that. I'm sorry. He does it with like other people that he's talking to.
Well, that's kind of like a thing where they're not really listening.
Yes.
Like, nobody's really listening to anyone. But with the detective, he just says, like, some weird stuff.
That, like, anyone would say. Like,
yeah,
he's
like,
about,
I was returning some videotapes at that time.
Right.
Because that's what he figures.
I don't quite remember what my plans were. Let me check my day book type of.
Yeah. Like, just, like, random stuff that he thinks a normal person would say, but is not appropriate in the situation that he's in.
Right.
And the detective is just kind of like, yeah, okay, sure. Like, we'll just kind of whatever. And it just kind of plays it off. And I think this is kind of where it gets to the point where you're like, what is real? What is not real? I mean, he goes to this Christmas party with Evelyn, his fiance, and you're
this
just like
before the Moita.
Yeah, like there's just weird things that happen in this where you're just like not sure what's what. Like, is he in his head is he really there? Like, how much of this is something that he's feeling or thinking, and what's actually happening?
You don't know what he's playing, like what he's exaggerating, like right. what he actually thinks, what he actually wants other people to think.
Right. Like, you don't know what's real and what's not. So you're thinking, like, you're looking at this detective and who's played by Willem Dafoe, and you're like, there's no way, like, a New York City detective is just going to be like, yeah, okay, bro, well, we're going to have lunch and you can remember where you were and we'll just meet up and talk about it and it's cool. And like, that he's just saying, oh, well, I think I was returning videotapes at that time. It's like, what? That doesn't even make any sense. Like, is this really happening? Yeah, like, happening?
Probably returning videotapes. How often do you return videotapes that you're probably returning videotapes at that time? Yeah,
like, that many times. Like, that's just your normal daily routine, is you're always returning videotapes. Like,
and that's his excuse anytime he needs an excuse. Right. Is like, I was returning videotapes.
Right, right. I mean, he's just kind of like picking up hot buttons at the time. And that was something that a lot of people were picking up videotapes, returning videotapes. So he just figured this is something like normal people do all the time. So, I mean, those are just the kind of things that he's saying, which is wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, all of that is off. But I feel like that's kind of just off throughout the whole time. And then it becomes, he's starting to use the sayings in more abnormal situations for them to be in. Like, I think that he just extrapolates like 1 degree farther each time.
Yeah, I think when he starts talking about the serial killers and stuff, I think that's just like,
right. I mean, like, I feel like that's when you can really see his mask starting to slip and him being like,
yeah, like that's actually stuff that he's saying, right, that he wants to say.
I thought that you were, that's what you were getting into.
No. When I think, like, what I was talking about was just the things that he was saying because he thinks that's what he's supposed to say.
Right.
But he has no idea really what he's supposed to say. He thinks he should be talking about serial killers, and isn't that interesting? And doesn't everyone know about this? Like,
much like, yes. And I mean,
like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't everybody know about these things? I mean, this is just stuff people talk about. But I mean,
and I feel like, It's so wild to me, though, because, like, nowadays, with, like, true crime being such a hot topic, like, this is what I talk about with people.
Well, I mean, you gotta remember, at the time when this was happening, Ted right. Bundy was very, very new. Like, he was still alive.
That's crazy.
You know, like, in the time period when this is set. So, I mean, like, nobody really, like, it was news, but it wasn't, like, as it is now. Everybody knows Ed Gein,
Ted Bundy,
all these people. You know, John Wayne Gacy, like, all of this is, like, out there, and people are talking about it regularly. Not everyone, but certainly more people.
A lot of people.
So I think that's the kind of stuff that he wants to talk about. What I'm talking about is, like, when he's saying things that he thinks make him fit.
Right.
Like, when he says to Evelyn in the car, when she's like, why don't you just quit that job?
Because he wants to fit in.
I want to fit in. And right. I think this is just him trying to fit in, and it's making no sense.
Right.
And nobody's calling him on it. Like, they're just kind of letting him go.
I mean, honestly, I think that part of the reason I like this movie is that in, like, some way that's kind of relatable. It's like, I do a lot of things that I don't want to do because I want to fit in. And, like, I don't know how to talk to people very well. And I think part of that is that I graduated in COVID, and, like, a lot of that where I missed out on some of, like, that situation.
I think it is awkward.
I mean that too.
Blame COVID on this.
I mean that too, but I don't know, like I don't know really how to talk to my coworkers.
No, I honestly
just talk to people about school, and then when I stopped having school to talk about, I'm like, I don't know what humans like to talk about.
No, I think you're just an awkward chicken. That's fine. But I think a lot of people are awkward, and I think a lot of it is because of the internet, nobody has to talk to anybody anymore.
That as well.
I really believe that that's a thing. I mean, I don't talk to people unless I have to, but I also am in a profession where I have to talk to a lot of people every day. Like, when I go to work, like, that's what I do.
Right. And I mean, I am as well, and I'm okay talking to those people. It's just that when I, like, don't have, like, my script of, like, customer service things to say, I don't know how to, like, talk to actual people.
Yeah.
So I understand where he's coming from in a lot of these situations. And, like, when he says, I'm going to go return videotapes, I feel like there's definitely things where I'm like, I'm going to say this thing that I think people say, and I don't know when to use it.
I don't know that you really want to compare yourself that much to Patrick.
No. I'm just saying, I find it relatable.
Me and him, totes the same.
I don't understand a lot of his other traits. Oh my God. You know what I mean, and the people out there know what I mean.
I'm relying on you, Super 8. I'm relying on you.
You make this so hard.
That's the whole point of having two people in a conversation. If it was just you talking by yourself, it would just be like, and no, I'm right.
No, if it was just me talking by myself, it wouldn't make any sense. Like, I don't know. I kind of get, like, that aspect of it. Yeah, I really feel like, though, there's other things where I'm like, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah. Well, I feel like when he starts talking about, like, Ted Bundy and all that, he just doesn't care anymore.
He just doesn't care anymore. Right, exactly. And I feel like that's something that you start to see. And I think that's something that he mentions as well, is that his mask is starting to slip and he's right. just going at yeah. this point. He's just
saying things.
Getting through as much as he can.
Right.
Our next uncomfortable moment. It's hard to do like a straight plot through thing of this because sometimes it's just scenes that happen and then that scene leads to another scene and there's just other scenes in between that don't really relate. I hope that made sense. I have no idea.
It doesn't, but just say when the next uncomfortable moment is.
It's going to be a pain to edit this. Next uncomfortable moment is 5136 to 5205. This is a scene that just kind of happens. Like, a scene finishes and suddenly he's having sex with
Courtney,
thank you. His friend's fiance, or his fiance's best friend, who's also engaged.
Yeah, to some other guy.
Some other guy who he does not like, but I love. I think he's a great character. And that lasts from 5136 to 5205, and it's just
straight sex.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And then she's like, well, will you call me, as he's getting, like, his clothes back on. He's like, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I think she kind of knows he's going to, I mean, she just assumes that they're going to keep doing what they're doing, and then she's going to marry this guy, and he's going to do whatever, and this
I mean,
is just going
to
stay status quo.
I mean, that's certainly what he assumes, but she doesn't want to.
Is the mentally broken character in all this, and I think that was kind of her trying to reach out for help, mm-hmm. and to, like, the worst possible person.
Because he has no empathy.
He's not capable. Like, that's right. A sociopath. Like, he can't do anything, you know? Like, he's just there. And he's not even realizing what she's even asking of him. So he's just like, yeah, see you later. And she's like, well, if I don't see you, then have a good Easter. Which, you know, you kind of feel like, well, maybe she's not going to see him. Maybe she's not going to see anybody, you know? But
very much so.
Not picking up on any of that.
Which sucks.
Yeah, well, that's him.
Yeah, and then we're good until the last, you know, scene of the movie, which is 1 hour, 13 minutes, 25 to 1 hour, 16 even.
Right, and this is the return of Christy.
The return of Christy.
Ugh, Christy girl.
And new girl, Elizabeth, who is not blonde.
No.
And, like, someone that Patrick knows.
That he knows.
Yeah, I mean, in between this, there's more weird conversations with the detective, more implied killing, more.
Yeah, more like actual killing. Like, there's
more like actual killing. There's
he's just going further and further and further off the rails.
But in this scene, he somehow, this is where I doubt you a little bit, Chrissy. Because you go back with him.
You don't know Christy's life.
I understand.
You don't know. Christy is standing on a street corner under an underpass, like under an overpass. And, you know, she's all alone. Like,
I feel so bad.
A limo pulls up. She's like, I don't want to do this with you. He's like, here's some money. Here's a check. She's like, gets out of the limo. I'm out. And he's like, kind of whistles at her and shows her like this fat wad of cash, and she's like, I'm not gonna do it. And she looks at the money. She's like, okay, fine. And he's like, it's not gonna be like last time. It's not gonna be like that. And it's like, we don't know her life.
We don't know what she has going on. This is the one where I'm like, okay, I kind of understand you. I kind of get you, because maybe it isn't gonna be like last time. Maybe this time it'll be okay. And she does do a smart. When everyone is, like, in the middle of everything, she tries to sneak away.
Let's talk about what we're doing before we get ahead of ourselves.
So, Christy and Elizabeth and Patrick are all gathered together in Paul Allen's apartment. Yeah. Not
and
Patrick's.
Christy time, right? Even says this apartment's better than your last one.
Which I think really sets him
yeah,
off.
Yeah, and I think that kind of is like the nail in the coffin for Christy there. I think she's like, as soon as she said that, like unwittingly, like I think that was the real end for her, because he's like, it's not that much nicer.
And he drugs them, both Elizabeth and Christy.
Yeah, Christy knows.
Christy knows.
But she just kind of, he even says, because she's not drinking the wine, which she knows is drugged. And she's like, okay, fine, I guess I'll drink it. And he comments on it, Christy, you're not drinking your wine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how there's, much to say.
Look,
like,
there's
without,
just,
like,
there's just
being...
more sex. He says to Elizabeth, like, hey, I think you two should get it on. She's like, I'm not going to do that. He's like, you went to Sarah Lawrence. And she's like, which, there was guys.
Which we didn't even start at that point. We started like at post them fooling around on the couch. We started like them in bed all together.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just
scene.
Where it's leading up
right.
to.
And
so the scene kind of kicks off like... We start a little bit later with where we have our demarcations, but what leads up to it is he has Christy, he takes her back to Paul Allen's, he has Elizabeth there. She's obviously from his world, so she's asking her, like, oh, did I meet you at this party? Do you know this guy? And Christy's just, like, sitting there with, like, stone face look on her face, like, lady, I'm a hooker, like, you don't even know. But then he says, I think you two should get it on to Elizabeth, who's like, not about this life. And he's like, no, come on, it'd be cool. She's like, what makes you think that? And he's like, you went to Sarah Lawrence. She's like, there was guys. He's like, yeah, whatever.
Which also, can I just say, Patrick says that Chrissy is his cousin, which... I mean, Elizabeth obviously knows is not true.
Well, I mean, I think that was just to try and cover up the fact that she doesn't know her. Like, when she says, what do you do for a living? And Christy doesn't immediately answer because she doesn't want to and, like, isn't
right.
thinking on the fly.
Right. And I get that. I just think that, like, from that answer to then him being like, hey, you guys should get it on, is not okay.
Well, either way.
Either way.
So, Elizabeth's drinking the drug wine. Christy has some because he's staring at her and being like, you're not drinking your wine. So she drinks it. Then cut to like them kind of fooling around on the couch.
Elizabeth also tries to get more drugs.
Yeah, she does.
And does comment that the wine tastes weird.
Yeah, keeps drinking it anyway because that's kind of how she is. So, you know, cuts to like everybody in the bed. There's more sex. Everything is going on. And that's kind of where we have our time stamps
right.
at. So... Christy does try and be smart about this.
She does.
She sees like he's kind of involved with the other woman. So she does kind of like a sneaky,
sneak. But she does not do a sneaky sneak quick enough. She needed to like get her stuff and go. And she's like, let me just like slowly back away and like watch what's going on. See if he's going to come after me. And then blood.
Yeah, she sees blood on the bed sheets and she gets really like shocked and she like kind of freezes rather than running.
Understandable.
So then he looks up, he's got like blood all over his face, and then she like takes off running. And this is like what I feel is like another really iconic scene in this movie is him chasing her with just a pair of sneakers on, completely nude, and like this
chainsaw.
Executive looking platinum chainsaw.
Very pretty chainsaw.
It's not a home light. It's not a like Husqvarna. It's just like this like Gucci looking chainsaw.
And I guess
where he's like running like a total madman down the hallway and she's screaming and banging on doors and there's not a soul to be found and no one comes to her aid. And then, you know, she's running down the stairs.
Well, hold up. She goes through this whole apartment where you just find more and more murder
it's just
and
a
like
horror
bad,
show.
Bad things.
Yeah, die yuppie scum written in like spray paint on the wall. Like bodies, just like all over the place. Like people everywhere, just like disgusting everything. So she's like running hell for leather down this stairway that kind of goes in like the square like spiral where you're going down and he's just like at the top holding his chainsaw kind of looking down, and when she gets to the bottom he just like lets it go and it just like pierces her right through the middle, and I'm thinking that is so unfair.
It's so unfair.
That is
she has
so
much
unfair.
Potential for final girl, and
like
it just,
she
like,
could have like just juked a little bit or like popped him back and he like wouldn't have hit her. Like what are the odds? They're not, you know, there's there's no odds that this would actually happen. And again, I'm kind of like, what's real here? Like, did this really happen? I mean, who could possibly do that?
Yeah. And like, no one came to the door. Like, he's screaming as he's running down the hallway.
And she's banging on every door, screaming her head off, and like nobody hears nothing and nobody says anything, and it's just like one of those things. And this other woman, Elizabeth, is in his circle, so I mean nobody says anything about her. She's just kind of like left to the wayside, and we know that she's been killed. So at this point you're really like, what is happening? Like, how are all these people dying? How is he doing all these things? Like, nobody's saying a word. He's literally dragging people like past other humans, like putting them in the back of a cab.
Yeah, like trailing blood.
Trailing blood. Nobody says anything. I mean, and you know, you're kind of like, what? You know, and then as it goes further and nothing is happening and no one is realizing it, and he's saying all these things and no one cares, you're just like, yeah, like, what is this?
When he's at the club with the model and she's like, well, what do you do? And he's like, I mainly work in murders and executions. She's like, well, do you like it?
But I think she kind of...
She didn't hear... Well, I mean, it's a loud club, right? It's like a...
Yeah.
She wasn't either, completely paying attention.
Either she was
hear.
Making like a lame joke. She just assumed murders and executions, right. Mergers and acquisitions.
Right, exactly.
Or, you know, and I kind of thought maybe she was just thing. Like, he thinks... Because later she's like, he thinks I'm dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what you were saying. Like, I'm not dumb. But mm-hmm. she kind of is because she keeps going with him. So... Right.
I mean, probably,
but
like,
who wouldn't? I mean, I can't say that if Christian Bale said, hey, girl, like, I don't know that I'd be like, nah, I don't think so. You know what I mean?
That's another one of those things where I'd probably be like, but what are we going to do? We're going to like hang out and get sandwiches? I would love some sandwiches.
So that is the last scene.
That's the last uncomfortable scene.
That is super uncomfortable. The whole movie is pretty uncomfortable, but it is such a joy. Good. And you will be missing quite a bit if you tune out of that scene.
You'll be missing probably... Ooh, sorry, I just like totally kicked the table. Probably one of like my favorite monologues of all time, if you skip it.
I don't know.
If you like, you don't dip at that point. Or if you don't,
yeah, there's not like a lot of good dippable points. Like the first one is definitely the most dippable.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the only one that's, like, kind of dippable.
Yeah, the rest of them are pretty integral to the
plot.
Well,
no. You could kind of skip 5136 to 5205, where it's him with the mentally ill fiance of the friend.
Yeah, you could skip that, but it's so low. It's so little.
It's so little.
It's so little. And if you're living through the other ones, you might as well just stick it out.
Might as well just stick it out.
Yeah.
This is probably not one to watch with your mom. This one is definitely not one to watch with your mom.
No, it's not. It's
and
not.
I think that...
But it's so good. It's so and good. It's so well done.
I think that because the tone of it as well is such like a light... I don't know how to describe the tone. It's like... It's not like Requiem, where you're like, this is... tragedy. You're watching people fall apart. This is breaking your soul. This is something that like you're still going to walk away from, and you're gonna be like, that is awful that these kind of things can almost sort of happen, and people just get away with stuff all the time. But and like you're not laughing, but you're not laughing at like all of these things, and
because it's absurd.
It's absurd, right?
It's absurd.
And I don't know, I feel like that level, it just makes it weirder on like a different situation, because yeah. you're not in a situation where you're both like, okay, we're both traumatized. It's like, right. A situation where like these awful things are happening, but not in a traumatizing way.
No, it's kind of like comedic but with a purpose.
Yes. Yeah,
you know? I do just want to touch on Jean the secretary briefly.
I wanted to do that as well.
Okay, because good. She is just this chick who's working as a secretary, just trying to manage him and make his appointments and his reservations and all that kind of thing. And she seems just kind of like this naive chick who doesn't really know what's up. And he's like telling her how to dress and stuff. And she's like, oh, okay. And she's just like trying to be super nice to him and all that stuff. And he just randomly decides to ask her what she's doing and would she like to have dinner with him. And I'm not even sure why. I think at this point he's really just going a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, I think that at this point he's like, I might as well.
And she's blonde.
She fits the archetype.
So, I mean, you know, hey.
Hey,
she seems
as
like
you know,
low-hanging fruit.
With these serial killers, they have a type.
They have a type. So she's blonde, she's cute, like maybe we can make something
happen.
She fits
that age range.
But I mean, she's just like flattered by it. And she's like, you know, hey, my boss wants to have dinner. Like, that's super cool. So he like pretends to get reservations at Dorsia, which we all know no one can get reservations at. And she thinks it's a little weird because he doesn't give a name. But she's like, it's cool, it's my boss. We're just going to go ahead and do this thing. So then when she ends up at his apartment,
he's... Not only that, He makes reservations for 9 and they meet at 7.
At
That's
7.
That's 2 hours before a reservation.
I mean, we don't know how far away it is from his apartment in New York City traffic. True. And maybe they just want to have a drink first or who knows. But, you know, he has her there. They're chit-chatting about, you know, whatever. And he's, like, going through his, like, closet full of crap that he can kill people with.
Well, he gets ice cream from his freezer where there is also a head.
There's a head.
And he, like, gives her the ice cream. And she's like, do you want any? He's like, I'm on a diet. Yeah, I have to resist temptation.
So the whole thing is just so strange. And he's talking to her and she's saying how she wants to better herself. But he's like, I'm going to kill you. And he's got a nail gun to the back of her head at one point. And the only thing that stops him is that Evelyn, the fiance, played by Reese Witherspoon, she calls and she's leaving this like lengthy, ridiculous message. And it just kind of breaks the mood, just like breaks it in half. And he doesn't know how to react. So he just kind of stops. He has to like reset. He puts the nail gun, he like hides it, you know, very stealthily so she can't see
behind the couch.
He can't see that she was about to be killed. And, you know, she's like, you're still seeing her. Like, do you want me to go? And he's like, if you don't go,
I think something bad will happen.
You're going to get hurt.
You're going to get hurt, right.
And she takes this
and
as.
And he's like, you don't want to be hurt, do you?
Yeah, she takes this as, you're seeing this woman, you're unavailable, I have this tendency, like, it's better if I just go. And not having any kind of clue that she was in just mortal danger.
Like, actually physically hurt, she thinks right. It's going to be emotional pain.
Right. So, she's really the only one who kind of gets away unscathed.
By sheer luck.
Yeah.
On like so many accounts. And he's like asking her if she's fulfilled in her life and like all of these things where it's like, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just kind of like a weird.
And she's really the only one that figures out the truth at the end, too. Because, right. You know, he goes to.
Things go freaking weird.
Things go weird.
Super over the top, haywire, whatever. And, you know, there's like a frantic call to his lawyer and all these things happen. And in the midst of all these things happening, you know, she's like trying to make an appointment for whatever. And he's not in. She doesn't know where he is. And, you know, she finds his calendar and it's like got all these crazy pictures of like killing
and
dead women and chopped up bodies and all this stuff.
When he breaks up with his fiance, he's drawing the scene of the woman getting stabbed in the back with the chainsaw on the tablecloth.
Yeah, he brings up with her directly after the scene with Christy that we had described.
Right.
So, yeah, things just go wild. And I'm really not entirely sure why he lets Jean go. Because he still could have killed her. He was right there. But that call, I don't know if it took him out of the state that he was in. I don't know if it broke his concentration. I don't know if it made him just have to reset where he was like, I need to like switch my frame of mind now. I don't know what it was about that call.
If I had to guess, I think, you know, not metaphorical wise, but just plot wise. I don't know. We're not like a super plot analysis podcast, but I think that because he needs everything a certain specific way, he needs like he has his specific routines. He has all of these things that he follows like religiously. And because what he had planned was interrupted, he could not go forward with it.
I don't know. Because at this point, he's really starting to disintegrate.
He is, but I still feel like he has to do everything in a specific way.
Yeah.
I think until he runs through all the lobbies and all the stuff with the cops and the woman, you know, confronts him at the ATM when he like breaks, I think everything has to be done in the specific ways.
Yeah, because I think by the end, he's really like reality is just skewed. It's so skewed.
And I think at the point where we're at with her is like, you know, he's starting to be like more planning on the fly. But once he had his mindset on, oh, well, I'm just going to, you know, shoot her in the back of the head with the nail gun and we're going to be done. Like, once that was interrupted, everything is like, oh, well, I don't know what to do now.
I don't know. It was just odd. But I'm glad she made it out at least.
Me too.
Because I liked her. She's sweet.
Yeah. And I mean, she figured it out. And I feel like that's, you know, probably part of the metaphor of the whole thing and all of that.
All right. So that's our very sloppy recap.
I'm hoping that I can clean this up.
This is very sloppy of American Psycho.
I'm realizing that the movies that I like to pick are movies that are hard to describe.
Well, it's like the whole point of our podcast is supposed to be this like light look at like these are the points where you just don't want to see it, not like a deep dive into like what the heck is going on with this movie.
I like movies with plot.
And this movie is just like a very this movie invites a deep dive.
Yeah. 100%.
And it's just hard not to take the dive. And that's why this was suck.
This
was not a normal, like, here's some moments and don't look and just peel off and don't take your grandma and just like go order a pizza when this scene comes on. Like, just don't watch any of this.
You know, we get some support and we do our maybe Patreon exclusive bonus podcast.
Talk about the Patreon exclusive. We have the Super 8.
I'm just saying, maybe
the Super 8 want to give us a dollar.
If we have our $5 Patreon exclusive, I think $5 is like your standard Patreon tier based on my subtle research of not actually, of just like, you know, the people that I want to subscribe to. Then we have like, you know, our analysis podcast. I think this would be a really good candidate for that.
I guess.
And like, you know, all of the movies that I really like.
I guess. But at any rate, we at least did our jobs and we at least got our moments out there. So those are the movies you really don't want to watch in this super uncomfortable movie anyway, which is just like a testament to like white male privilege. You know, I don't know what to tell you. This isn't a movie you're going to watch with your mom, your grandma, your pastor, your neighbor anyway. I guarantee, like, they're not going to be like, let's watch American Psycho. I just love that Christian Bale. Like,
and again, call out to any, you know, I don't even know. I mean, I'm still down to watch, you know, Velocipastor with a Pastor or whatever that other one that we said before was.
Sorry, Velocipastor with a Pastor.
We've had one before that I was like, I would 100% watch this with whatever. It was like something related to their career. And I'm sorry that I cannot remember that now. But if you are,
I want to watch The Nun 2 with a Nun.
I'd watch The Nun 2 with a Nun. Dude, I wish I remembered what movie it was where you were like, I would not watch this with a priest. I'd be like, I would totally do that. So I'm just saying, if you're out there and you want to like come and watch some of these movies with me so we can talk about them.
If you're a finance bro and you want to watch American Psycho, I don't know if I want to watch it with you. But
if
maybe.
If you're a finance bro, I would have to do some heavy vetting before I watch this with you.
Not all finance bros are bad. That's a stereotype too.
It's a stereotype. I just, shout out still exists to any like pastor who wants to watch like The Exorcist or Velocipastor.
I would love to watch The Exorcist. I would be more interested to watch The Exorcist 3 with,
is that the one in,
I would
the
like
hospital?
To watch it with a priest, a cop, and then I'm a nurse, so that'll make the three.
That's the one in the with the
yes,
scissors.
Yes, okay. Yes,
yep.
So I would really love to do that. Let's round it out. Let's do the Holy Trinity and watch that movie together. So I need a priest, a cop, and me. We're all gonna get together and watch The Exorcist 3. I'm awaiting applications. Let's do it. And we're gonna find ourselves a nice like abandoned hospital and we're gonna watch it. Or a non-abandoned hospital. I'll rig it up in the conference room in my hospital and we can all sit and watch it together on a night where I don't have to work. And they'll be like, why are you guys here? And it'll be like, don't worry. It's night shift.
Turn a blind eye.
I'm just gonna put some newspapers over the window and the door and we're all gonna sit here and watch it. Dude. So I would love to get everyone's take on that and be like, please, is this accurate police work? Is this accurate priestery? I don't know.
I mean,
watching something like this with any one of these professions will be the same thing as like watching a medical drama with me where I'm like, psh, that would never happen.
100%.
Yeah, right. Three doctors are going to ambulate that patient. Whoa. Yeah. I can't even get them to prescribe me a Tylenol.
This is If anyone is ever, you know, curious what it's like to watch literally anything that takes place in a hospital with a nurse, this is exactly it.
Like, that is some low quality CPR they're doing. They ain't gonna receive, gonna get ROSC with that.
What is it, Halloween 2? Why is no one on night shift? What happened?
There's like no people. How is all this happening? And there's like not a soul in the hospital. Do they really think there's like no staff at night? Like, we just don't exist. I swear to God.
I would not watch this movie with a finance bro, but if there's a priest or pastor that wants to watch this movie, I 100% would.
And priests and pastors out there, she will not.
I 100% will.
She 100% won't, so don't take her up on it. But, I mean, you know, if...
Take me up on it, please.
I don't think you should. I think you're going to put yourself in a precarious position, and she's going to be weird, and it's going to be a thing. But if you want to do that, that's fine.
I will 100% be weird. I will admit that. You just have to be prepared for me to be weird and ask questions that you're probably not expecting. I have so many. Second thing. I really enjoy it. That's why I picked it. Mm-hmm. Definitely very uncomfortable. Definitely not one to watch with your mom ever.
No. Don't watch it with your mom. I didn't enjoy watching it with my daughter.
I did that thing where I kind of pretend that like we're not related and I don't know you.
Yeah, it was really hard. It was definitely
like
one of the harder ones.
Exist
I
in the
don't
same room.
Think it was Reanimator hard.
I'm going to go back to what I said before. I think this is hard in, like, a different way.
Yeah. I think Reanimator was probably, like, the hardest one.
I think...
When that scene with the head, and it was just like, oh.
I think that's extra hard because, like, you suggested it, and I didn't know what was coming, and you knew what was
I
coming.
I knew, and I was, like, visibly hiding behind things at that point.
You knew what was coming.
I did not hide in this one.
No.
But I still think it's pretty high on the scale. It wasn't a good time. It was definitely more uncomfortable watching it with a child.
I am
even a grown adult child. If this was like a younger than grown adult child, I think it would be just like, I think I would just be dust.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, ooh. Even 18, I think I would probably be
I
dust.
I think that you need to be like grown adult.
Yeah.
For this one, for sure. And you know, I feel like you need to have like a really... I guess, open relationship with your mom
and
with you, whoever
because,
you're watching it with.
Again, the scenes that you'd want to peel off for.
You cannot.
Are integral to the plot. And they're like the iconic scenes and they're the funnest scenes of the whole movie. And I mean fun
it's,
in like a really.
It's awful.
In a not
I'm saying
fun, but fun
but
way.
But they're fun.
Yeah. They're the best parts, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's really high satire. It's really gory satire. And if you miss those scenes, then you kind of miss a lot of the point of the movie, which is terrible. So
definitely watch this with someone who understands satire as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody who can watch Blazing Saddles and be like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yes.
I get it. Yeah, that's the best that I can say.
What would you give this on an uncomfortability scale?
I would give it a hard 7, maybe an 8.
I was going to go 7. I could definitely see 8.
Yeah. I think maybe 8 just because of the unavoidability.
I was going to go up to an 8, not because they're unavoidable. I mean, yes, because they're unavoidable, but also because, like, going from a lot of times when we have a movie that's we watch, it's generally uncomfortable, and then we give it a score because it's additionally uncomfortable to watch with a parent, child, guardian, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This one generally is less uncomfortable than some of the other ones that we watch, Reanimator, whatever. But watching it with you made it like 15 times more uncomfortable from like a base like 2 to a base 30 to versus like a base 5 to a base 10. Like, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I would give it an 8. Okay.
Yeah, I think it'd probably be uncomfortable anyway. Like,
I mean, yeah, but not
when I saw this movie, it stuck with me. And things that stick with me like that, it's usually because it made me feel something.
Yes.
And I think that uncomfortable feeling alone does rate it high for me.
I definitely think that this movie made me feel things, which is why I'm going to give it a good probably like a 9 out of 10.
I'm not going to give it a 9. I'm going to give it
a good score.
I'm giving it an 8 on the good score. I can't give it a 9.
That's very
fair. It's not high enough for me.
That's very fair.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I think it's great. I'll watch it. But I mean, it's not going up to 9.
It definitely, it's a movie that sticks with me very much so. And that's, you know, why I'm going to give it a good score. But I think that the scenes that stick with me are not as much the uncomfortable things that I tend to, like, you know, forget and block and, you know, push away, as much as like the overall character of
I would happening. Agree with that, because when you're like, I don't know if there's enough scenes in here, and I was like, you're crazy.
100%.
Did you not watch it the first time? Did you watch some weird edited version? Because like every
I watched it every time I watched it, or every scene that we saw, I was like, oh yeah, that did happen. That 100% did happen. It's just that I tend to just push those scenes out of my mind if I can. And like, what sticks with me in this movie is the, like, he's absolutely insane and he just gets away with everything.
Right. Which is, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing. So, I don't know. I think that it's done really, really well.
Or I think the acting is amazing. Is it all just happening in his mind?
I know! Trust, I would go into it on this one. This is one that I would love to chit-chat about for like an hour.
Well, maybe if you're a finance bro, you can let us know what it is.
I don't trust you, finance bros. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, but do you have to trust them to be interested in what their take would be?
No, but I would not meet you in person. I would want to do it over Zoom.
Oh my God, the finance bros have such a bad rap. They're not all bad people.
I know. I just, wow, it's hard to say that I would trust a priest more than a finance bro for so many reasons.
Oh, there she goes coming for the priests again.
I'm sorry.
Right in their time, right in the big month.
You guys also have a bad rap for like,
maybe a rabbi? Maybe a rabbi?
I would trust a rabbi. I would 100% trust. I feel like you would judge me very hard and I'd be deserving of it, but I would trust you.
Okay. Maybe like a, I don't know what you call somebody in the Muslim faith with their spiritual leader is.
I know not very much about people in the Muslim faith. I would love to learn so much
more.
I'm
going to ask what they call their spiritual leaders, because I'm not sure what the proper term is. I don't know if that's also a priest. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anyone who's chill and cool, we're good.
Any spiritual leader who wants to discuss.
Any spiritual leader.
But I think for VelociPastor, it has to be an actual pastor.
I think 100% it has to be an actual pastor.
Okay. And I watch Ghost Shark with an actual shark.
Not with an actual ghost?
No, an actual shark. I think that'll be easier.
Okay.
Maybe not, because we watch a lot of things with an actual ghost, and they only chime in when they feel like it. But that's, I feel like the shark is going to react either way, as long as I feed it.
Yeah. I mean, if there's, you know, anyone out there who's like, hey, I'm representative of this community, and I would like to watch this movie with you guys, I'm here for it, and like present your take.
All right. Well, let's end this episode because it's gone on for too long.
It's gone on for too long. I don't know how much it's going to make the edit. We love you guys. Oh, shout outs. Yes. Frank, we have so much stuff to do.
Yes, do your shout outs, please.
Shout outs to Chuck for doing our disclaimer, Marshall for doing our intro, Billy for doing our logo. We appreciate it very much. You can find Billy's information in the description.
Shout out to the Town Book Center.
Shout out to the Town Book Center.
Keep being awesome.
Shout out to the guy. You know who you are.
You know who you are, guy.
Guy. I don't know that you want us to shout you out specifically, so you're just going to be Guy.
Guy. Shout out to the fine people at Longwood Gardens for their awesome Christmas display and super funky bathrooms.
And like 15 people in the parking lot directing traffic.
Yeah, that was so wild.
Shout out to PAX, Penny Arcade. That was really fun. I would love to do it again next year. Definitely, if you're thinking about going, recommend the 3-day pass for sure. I do not feel like I had enough time to explore everything. Is that everybody?
That's everybody I can think of for now.
All right. Shmeeds. Gosh, dang it. So much stuff we have to do. Our Instagram is... That's your turn. Our Instagram is...
Crap. Don't... Underscore. Look underscore podcast. Facebook is the same thing, right?
We have a Don't Look Podcast Facebook page. I don't know that you have to put underscores in Facebook.
Yeah, Don't Look Podcast on the Facebook. You just freaking look for us. You'll find us. I am at CatsMom75 on Insta. You can find me there. Cat is Catastrophe Neko over there.
I think I'm underscore Neko. Yeah, you might be.
You'll find her. We are thinking about going to Blue Sky. I'm exploring Blue Sky to see how that goes because it seems to be like the friendlier version of things these days, so I'm kind of toying with Blue Sky. So if we get a Blue Sky, I'll let you guys know what that is. I'll start posting on there as well, just to do a little bit easier chit chats and stuff like that. We have a Gmail that is don'tlookpodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, folks, apostrophes are not valid characters in emails, so please do not include one if you try and contact
us. All the pastors, please go ahead and email Kat with your theological propositions, and she'll be happy to discuss them with you at length.
At length.
At length. Ad nauseum. Don't open that can of worms unless you are prepared for that can of worms.
We're going to start with ghosts.
Is that all of our social means for now?
I believe so.
Okay, that's all our social means. So, I guess it's very easy when you're a finance bro. Pretty much anybody can do anything they want. And the code that everyone lives by is don't look.
Listen.
That was the longest, most convoluted goddamn thing. Did you have too much wine? What the hell happened to you? And then you started yelling. You're going to listen to this and realize how loud you are. You got so freaking loud.
I think what happened, I'm going to be completely honest here, and this is not what I wanted to talk about in the end, because I really wanted to talk about how many times Donald Trump was like shouted out in this episode, in the movie.
I don't want to talk about him at all if we don't have to.
I understand that, but I just thought it was neat that he brought up three times, and he's getting away with stuff the same way that Pat Bateman did. Anyway.
No, we're not getting political on the DL page.
I understand. I just wanted to talk about it. I think what happened is that I had a really rough day at work and I'm on my period and my brain is like really messed up right now.
Well, good. Make sure you leave this in so people know why the hell it's so bad. This is supposed to be like an easy breezy one. This is supposed to be like shibby 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 and done.
Shibby 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 done.
It was not. It was so hard.
Thank you to the Super 8 who listened to this episode. We love you.
Even if you hate us.
Oh, God. Gosh, dang it.
Oh, my God. That was